Studios, the All Arizona Daily Download, the top five local stories of the day. Number five.
Yuma declares a state of emergency.
Yep, that's what Doug Nichols said, the mayor of Yuma.
I have already signed the emergency proclamation to declare that there is an imminent threat on having too many migrant releases into our community, and it's above our capacity as a community to sustain.
Apparently, we don't have good phones down in Yuma. He was talking into a tin can.
Right.
I could barely hear him.
Well, that's part of the problem.
Oh, is that part of the problem?
They don't have the resources. And I wonder, and I'm being serious, I wonder when Kate Gallego, the mayor of Phoenix, says, you know what? We can't take these migrants, these people, because it is stressing out our churches. It's stressing out our resources. I wonder if this spreads to other cities in Arizona.
Here's the thing. Is it a real emergency? And when I say, listen, I think there's an emergency down on the border. But is he declaring a real emergency, or is this just a symbolic, I'm declaring a state of emergency?
It depends on your definition of imminent threat.
Well, I want to know if he's actually looking to get money and resources coming down to Yuma.
I would assume.
I'm not so sure.
No.
This sounds more symbolic to me. I think he's trying to get national attention on this, and I really can't blame him. And he says, hey, look at how many people are coming in over the border.
Right.
So I don't know if he's going to get one dime after doing this.
But they need something. I mean, yeah.
They do.
Mac and Gatos, the number four local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Smugglers turn into travel agents.
Yeah, we've told you before about how smugglers are now saying and actually taking out radio ads. Hey, Trump's going to close the border. We, you know, whatever company they go under, the illegitimate company or whatever, we can take you and drop you off literally at the front door of the United States. And last night we saw this, or border agents saw this. There was video. A group of nearly 400 migrants were apprehended after three buses dropped them off.
Three big, beautiful charter buses.
Three chartered buses drove up to the border, dropped off the illegal aliens, and then they all ran right across the border and waited for an agent to show up.
It's unbelievable. We brought you that as it happened. Around 5 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, there's no trek through Mexico anymore. There really isn't.
There's no trek
from Mexico the trek is from Central America into Mexico. I mean, they're not walking all the way across Mexico into the United States.
Right.
No, they're on a bus.
If they can afford it, yeah.
There's air conditioning.
Right, there's meals.
There's a bathroom on the bus.
Yeah. Well, you know the rule, though.
What is the rule? On a bus?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
No, number two.
Stick your rear end out the window if you got to go?
No, number two. You can go number one, but no number two.
I could have went all show without you actually.
Well, now you know what to do on a bus. We're here to learn today.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Number three.
Wally World comes to Phoenix.
Yeah, get this. On the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, you know, where Talking Stick Resort Arena is, Dolphinaire. Too soon. Odyssey, Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge. You will be able to wrestle and live with wolves.
No.
What could go wrong?
No.
Oh, it's not like Dolphinaris?
Think of a water park, Mac.
The resort will be built on an 18-acre site. It'll have an 8,500-square-foot water park, plus a family entertainment center, some dining options, and a lot of conference space.
Here's one water ride, because all this stuff is inside. Howlin' Tornado.
Howlin'
Tornado.
Like a wolf.
A family-friendly water ride where people sit in a raft and go down a 15-foot drop into a large funnel. Oh, that's awesome.
Ooh.
And sway from side to side. That's fantastic.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
This is going to be the new downtown. This is going to... they build an arena over there for the Coyotes and or the Suns, this is the new Phoenix downtown. You take the kids, see a game, go to restaurants. That community over there is making something big.
They've also got a ride called Slaptail Pool.
I don't think that's legal in this community. What does that involve?
That sounds like something out of Scottsdale.
Well, it is close.
It is close.
Yeah. It is Scottsdale.
Would you go there, Becky Lynn?
All right, enough.
Mac and Gatos, the number two local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Stranger danger at your front door.
This just scares the bejesus out of me. You have not one, not two, but three different incidents of strangers showing up and trying to lure children under the guise of, at least one, under the guise of, hey, I teach at your kid's school. I'll take them to school. Come on.
Here's the first incident. A suspicious man tried to lure a girl into his vehicle on Tuesday when she was on her way to school. That's important. The second incident, the day before, a man posed as a teacher, knocked on a family's door, went to the house, and told them he was there to take their daughter to school. Boy, I wish I would have answered that door. I know you're not taking my daughter to school. And here's a knuckle sandwich.
Well, thank goodness the parents figured it out.
Let me slap the yellow off your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the third one. A man tried to lure a Westwood student into his vehicle on the afternoon of March 26th while a student was on their way home from school. And, you know, school officials are saying this.
One thing we want our parents to know is that Westwood School or any school in the Alhambra School District would never send our teachers to our families' homes for them to transport children to school.
And no, there's no parent out there that would say, oh, yeah, okay, okay, let me go get little Lisa and I'll have you take her to school. I mean, that's not going to happen, but it is scary. They're trying to swipe these kids off the street.
Number one.
Valley Salons rejoice.
Governor Doug Ducey signing the so-called dry bar bill, calling this a victory for common sense.
A dry bar bill?
Right.
Our state was requiring people that wanted to get a job inside a business that had a blow dryer.
Okay, now this is not involving haircut. This is an actual blow-dry bar where you go. Becky Lynn, I don't know whether you've
tried. Well, they call it dry bar. All they do is style your hair.
But so they don't cut it. They don't wash it.
We need a bill.
They do.
They do wash it.
We need a bill for this?
Well, because up until now, the people who just did this had to be licensed similarly to the people who cut your hair, which is like 1,000 hours of education.
All right, so let me ask you as a woman, Becky Lynn, are you comfortable walking into a place that isn't, that the people working there that are touching your hair, styling your hair, are not licensed? I mean, they don't go through the same training about how to keep clean, the hygiene part of it. I mean, are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely, because if you're just dry, I mean, the salon is licensed. It's still a salon.
Okay.
The business is going to be licensed. It's just that each individual practitioner
does not have to be.
So we're working on a hair dryer bill instead of, I don't know, a bill on getting vaccinations up or a new bill
priorities.
On banning texting and driving.
Priorities. People
good. You know what other bill they're working on? They're working on lemonade bill. They're working on a bill to officially have lemonade as the Arizona beverage.
It's very refreshing. Are you kidding me? Lemonade's really
don't
good.
Don't steal my Kinetico line.
Oh, really?
Mm. Very refreshing.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire. It's a new treatment for sleep apnea with no mask, no hose, no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today.
All right. It was the number five story in the All Arizona Daily Download. We're going to expand on it a little bit here. Yuma has declared a state of emergency due to the influx of Central Americans. And our own Chad Benson was there yesterday in Yuma. Witnessed firsthand why the mayor made that decision. Chad's in studio. He's going to tell us what he saw in a second.
Mac and Gatos. A KTAR News special series, Arizona's Immigration Crisis.
All right, this is what you've been listening to all week. An incredible series with KTAR News about Arizona's immigration crisis. We've covered it from several different angles throughout the week. We've talked about our own Peter Seymour, our KTAR reporter, actually witnessing a rescue of a woman with two little kids. We've had Peter go on the border, tell us what he has actually seen, what's going on at the port of entries. And joining us now is somebody who was on the border yesterday, our own Chad Benson, who hosts 6 to 9 here on KTAR. Chad, you toured the border yesterday near Yuma, and we know Yuma declared a state of emergency.
Yeah.
So who were you hanging out with on this trip, first of all?
We had several congressmen. Andy Biggs.
Arizona.
Yeah, we had Gates from Florida. We had, I think, Dusty Johnson from the Dakotas. We had Duffy and a few other people. The Congress people were there. And tons of Border Patrol, the union members. And they took us out and about on several occasions, including after dark. And that's where the action happened.
Did you yell at these losers who are in Congress, honestly, and say, you guys, I don't even know why you're here. You obviously don't care. You're obviously not going to do anything about it. Isn't this just a waste of time?
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
I told him. I said, look, guys, it really doesn't matter. Everybody in America on both sides of the aisle politically have lost our faith in what you guys can do there. And we both know that nothing's going to get solved. And in fact, they argued amongst themselves. They could not come to, as they were talking about stuff.
They're all Republicans?
Yeah, all Republicans. Biggs and I think it was Johnson from the Dakotas. They were arguing amongst themselves because, like, why did you bring us here if we can't solve this problem? Because Biggs is like, we can't solve this problem. It can't get done. But the way that that politics is going to be done in the future is outrage your opponents, get as many House seats and Senate seats, and that's how you're going to get stuff done, because you're never going to get bipartisan anymore ever again.
Wow.
But even if you get a majority, they still don't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a majority of Republicans sitting in the House and Senate right now, or the Senate, at least, before this midterm election, and nothing was done then.
Because you have to get you not only have to get a majority, you have to get a majority. You have to get 60 in the Senate. You can't have 51. You have to get 60 in the Senate. You have to have it has to be. We can pass this without any hesitation whatsoever.
But if they're already arguing amongst themselves as Republicans, nothing or a watered down version is going to get done.
No.
You can't even settle on something within your own party.
No. Right.
Chad Benson is with us. He toured the border yesterday in Yuma. Okay.
He made Congressman weep.
I
did.
Good. Other than the losers that he was hanging out with, what was the most surprising thing for you during your visit? What made you angry? What were you surprised at yesterday?
You know what? The thing that made me, I think the most surprising thing was the fix that's out there that's available as far as the Border Patrol says. I said, what's the fix for you guys? He said, and I asked seven of them, and they all said the exact same thing at different times. Fix the asylum law. This fixes 85% of what's going on right now.
Really? Oh.
Fix the asylum law.
85%?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
What would that even look like if it were to fix 85%? People wouldn't be dropped here by buses?
You can't be, because I'll tell you why. Because if you fix the asylum like they have it in other countries, you're coming from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and you're into Mexico, you can't come here and apply for asylum. You apply for asylum in the first country, which would be Mexico.
Right.
And then until you get granted asylum, you have to stay there. We don't do it that way.
Ah.
We let you come here, and then we turn you loose. And the other thing that was so surprising, when we turn them loose, we ask them where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure they get there. And that includes by plane. And they were showing me pictures of people who are boarding planes who do not have IDs, and we are flying them to places across the country. Mm. I can't buy Sudafed without an ID.
Right.
And these people can get on airplanes.
Right.
That was very interesting. And then the humanitarian side. I'm out there last night, and it felt odd because a group of about 45, I think they were Guatemalans, were up there. And they walked over and they surrendered. Here we go. Take us in, please.
Saw this?
Yep. And they all got in line. I've got pictures on Twitter and stuff. They got in line. They all sat down. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And they were mothers and kids and a few older people. And then they were going to be released probably in the next 48 hours out into, you know, America, and away they go. But it's tough because when you see a little child holding a bear, that kid's done nothing wrong. And that's the humanitarian side. At the same time, we've got a broken system and it's not fair to a lot of other people. Some people are waiting 25 years to have a chance to get into this country.
Right.
And they do it right. And these people jump in front.
Let me ask you, though, when you noticed or when you watched these people, and this was in the middle of nowhere. This was not at a checkpoint, right?
Yep.
It was not a border checkpoint.
On the border. Yeah, on the border.
Well, but right across the Colorado River.
They just walk right across the Colorado River.
Okay. Do you think they were coached on what to do and how to do it?
Yes. They've been coached
And who does it? Is it the smugglers? People in Central America?
People think the smugglers, as bad as they are, Sinaloa, the cartel down there, is the one who kind of controls everything. It's a tourist thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally one of those things where they don't want to human traffic you. They want you to get there safely in a way that you know that you've done well. So you're going to tell your friends that you've got to use us to get yourself down there. We know you have many choices into smuggling into our country. Thanks for choosing Sinaloa Express. And that's kind of the way it is. And it's very interesting as they explained it to the fact that what Sinaloa does is they use these people to run. And once they get across, they know exactly what they're supposed to do because they're also being told along the way. They're getting help from a lot of different places along the way, including billboards on Mexico telling you what to do when you get there.
Like a cruise director.
Like a cruise director, right? Yeah, it's Julie from the Love Boat.
Yep. Unreal.
And once that happens, and once they come across, that's when Sinaloa then does the things the cartels do, which is they know they have natural breaks now where they're getting taken over and all 12, you know, or 10, you know, Border Patrol people are working in a certain area, then they can run all their other stuff through.
This is part of KTAR's.
Oh, yeah.
Did you want to expand on that?
You mean the drugs and
yeah.
all the other stuff?
Yeah.
That's diabolical. Yeah. So they're using the Central Americans mm-hmm. to distract the Border Patrol so they can get the drugs through
yeah.
easier.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But
so first they get the people in. And then they get the drugs in
yeah,
later.
Yeah, there you go.
But the big issue with the drugs is, and they talked about it, is the Native American and the reservations. Because they say, look, we can't build a wall there. It's against, so there's no way we can build a wall there. They don't help us. They won't even pave certain areas. They make it almost impossible. The higher-ups in a lot of these Native American tribes, the potential of them getting greased, their palms greased, is amazing. And, you know, we have no way of getting in there. So it's basically a free run for them to get a lot of their drugs across that we don't even talk about because nobody really wants to bring that up.
Good stuff, Chad.
Yeah.
Glad you went down to the border. Yeah, I know you joined us yesterday, joining us today. I mean, we really are learning a lot during this series that KTAR News is running, Arizona's immigration crisis. And one thing just to leave you with that you said that was really interesting, and maybe we should talk about this later. You apply for asylum while you're in Central America.
Yeah.
If you are in Honduras or, you know, Guatemala, and you want to leave, you apply there, you stay there, we vet you. And then we decide, you know what, if that family stays in Central America, they're dead. Then we should bring them to the United States because that's what we do. That is not a bad idea at all.
No, and here's the thing, though. You got to change the law, and that's going to be a problem because
right.
it's a law change
right.
where Trump can do something immediately, which is allow the Border Patrol to essentially be the first interview in credible danger and fear.
We've heard about that.
Once they do that, then you only have a 10-day clock ticking where you can have a hearing and then decide if somebody's going to go home, and about 95% of them would be sent home. So that would change immediately as well. But the reality is no law is getting changed because nobody has the political might to want to do something like that.
All right, Chad, we'll listen to United 6. Thanks, man. Chad Benson on the border yesterday near Yuma. That was his little, what is that again? All right, let's see. Coming up next. Hey, you remember the Perry High School incident? Students wearing MAGA gear?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to those kids?
We now know what really happened. And we'll tell you next.
Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
It's Wednesday, and coming up at 3:05, Brewer time. The former governor of Arizona and Mac and Gatos political insider, Jan Brewer. She'll have a lot to say on Yuma. You know, declaring a national or a state of emergency, if you will.
Because of the Central Americans coming in?
Right. She'll have a lot to say on that, I'm sure.
Oh, is she going to be fired up at 3 or what?
You know, and what we'll ask her, too, is should the state declare a national emergency? I mean, it's not just Yuma. It's other places, other cities that are dealing with this in the state, too. So I'm sure she'll be fired up.
Oh, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you remember this story about Perry High School, the incident. It was
The March 1st Party in the USA Day.
Party in the USA Day, yes, where you could come dressed to school.
Right.
Like, I don't know, in your red, white, and blue gear.
Yeah. You got a flag on your
flag,
shirt.
Yeah. MAGA gear.
Well, that got some kids in trouble.
But again, as I said before, you know, he is the president. You don't have to love him. You know, but if it is a day like that in a school, isn't it incredible that it's controversial to wear something from a sitting president? But that's how it is in this day and age.
Is it controversial to wear it?
Yes.
Or is it controversial if you wear it and say stuff behind it?
Well, that'll make it more controversial.
More? Okay.
Yeah. So the school Perry High students wore the MAGA gear. And remember, there was an uproar, and parents were saying
these students didn't know why they were being told to put away their Trump paraphernalia. They didn't know why. They don't know why that they were being questioned by the SRO officer. They don't know why any of this happened.
So we interviewed.
So, and that's kind of redundant. SOR officer. It's like
okay.
ATM
okay.
machine. Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, lady.
Or it's cold outside.
Duh.
You hate that.
The temperature outside. Well,
yeah.
Duh.
What's the temperature outside?
Well,
anyway.
Mm.
We interviewed one of the mothers of one of the kids with the MAGA gear.
Yeah, Jennifer Save Ferris.
Yeah. And the mom said, hey, listen, my kids went to school. They thought, you know, this would be cool. We like Trump. They weren't flaunting it in anybody's face. They were wearing the MAGA gear.
That's what mom
That's
said.
That's what mom told us. They had a flag. They were told to put the flag away. They mm-hmm. did that. But it was something that happened after school. And then we started to get, or at least me, I started to get this
your BS
mom
meter. Your BS meter in the back of your mind.
Is BSing me. And then we found out that she has been in the news before. There was some, it was an, you know, not every day is there a mom that's in the news like twice in 1 year on two big incidents.
Mm-hmm.
So what really happened at Perry High School? Well,
and why were the principal and the administration, they weren't talking to anybody.
It was frustrating.
It was because we wanted to know, okay, what happened, right? And we were just kind of shocked that nobody from the school was really talking.
I think we know what happened now.
Yep.
Okay, so the attorney general's office had to get in this. The school was writing letters and all this stuff. Get this. There are people that are saying at the school lunch that these students who are wearing the MAGA gear surrounded an African-American student chanting Trump slogans. Okay. One student allegedly called a classmate a... let's just call it wussy liberal.
Okay.
Even though that wasn't the necessary, pretty close to the word.
It's pretty close.
I think you can figure that out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now you've got the kids wearing the Trump gear mouthing off. Because, again, I didn't have a problem with them wearing the Trump gear.
Right.
If it is, it wasn't Make America Great Day or anything like that. It was
Party in the USA spirit.
Party in the USA. Yeah. And he's a sitting president. So, okay, go ahead. But just, you know, act like a human being. I don't think these kids acted like a human being. Here's another one. One student told officials she was walking to lunch with her friend when a group of male students began yelling at them. One student called her friend some type of epithet and had a Trump shirt, put it in their faces, and said, "Y'all like my shirt?"
After the epithet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's a video which school officials reviewed. It confirmed the students were chanting Trump. And that at least one student was called another obscenity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another student said that while she was walking to lunch, a student called her a fat ghetto white girl. Okay. Is this...
But these are the kids that are wearing the gear.
Right. If this kid was wearing a Justin Bieber t-shirt...
Okay.
...and still saying these things, would this have been such a big deal? Or, as you pointed out earlier, is it because the Trump stuff, the MAGA stuff... already elicits some kind of response, usually a negative response. If this kid was wearing a Diamondback shirt, sports shirt.
What if he was wearing an Obama shirt? See, I think
would it have gotten the attention and would he or she have been suspended or in any trouble?
Probably not. It's Trump. It's how controversial he is. It's how polarizing he is. And if the students were wearing his gear... and acting like the back end of a horse, which I think that they were, that's not good for people at school.
So a male student who tried to intervene and tried to de-escalate the situation by singing, I think, 60 songs and putting flowers in everybody's hair.
Oh, that's nice.
He was a hippie.
I don't like hippies.
The students wearing the MAGA gear began yelling at him. So it sounds to me like they were just being bullies.
Yeah.
They were walking around going, look at us, look at us.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't mean that everybody who wears the red Trump hat is a jerk. It doesn't. I think that a lot of people believe that. But that's not necessarily the case.
But when you go and purposely bully somebody.
When you wear it and then you go to school
and
you're surrounding a black kid and you're using racist terms.
There you go.
And you're throwing your shirt in people's faces saying you like my shirt. You're just a jackass.
Well, and you're also asking for something to happen. You're asking for the administration to step in.
Yes, and it makes it worse. I hate to say it. It makes it worse that they were wearing Trump stuff because he's so polarizing. If it was an Obama shirt and they did this, and I think this is just the way it is. If it was an Obama shirt and people acting like jerks, please.
Well, they could be called for bullying.
Plenty of people on the left, I mean, act like jerks if they wear this stuff. It still wouldn't get as much play because it's not Trump.
It's not Trump.
And to the president, that's not necessarily fair.
All right.
But this is the world that we live in, and this is how he has made it.
Let me ask you this, though.
Ask away.
If this... Do you believe the report?
Of what we just said?
Right.
Yes.
Do you believe...
That the kids were acting like
idiots? That the kids were acting like... Because, again,
yeah,
we got such a different opinion from the mom, from the students, and now you have this report of a black student, a female student. I'll put it to you this way. I'll trust the administration's report, but I wonder if it's also a CYA move, too.
That they're lying about this?
Not necessarily lying, but... If this were any other shirt, would they have handled it the same way? And I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I think the answer is no, too. But I think these kids were acting like jerks.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. But I think the severity of the punishment comes with the shirt. If they were wearing a Beavis and Butthead T-shirt, I don't think they would get nearly the amount of attention or the punishment.
They should have worn their Trump gear and just acted like a human being. And everything would have been fine.
But everything
would have been fine.
Right.
Because there was anything wrong with them wearing the Trump gear.
Right.
It was what was coming out of their mouth. All right. That's what happened at Perry High. Coming up next. Why are Arizona school vaccination numbers in free fall? Next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos on KTAR News 92.3 FM.
Wait a second. Did not do what I just think you did.
Anyway, subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast. You don't miss any of the show. Oh. It's brought to you by Stampede.
Come on.
Stampede Plumbing.
You did not just do that.
I did. I didn't say it's good. I didn't say it's healthy, I did.
Real quick, like once a month, you know.
We
get cake here at the station.
Yeah, we celebrate all the birthdays in one day.
So earlier, Mac takes the first piece. He stress eats. He's got children. I totally get it.
I'm on it.
First piece. It honestly is a huge piece, Becky Lynn.
It's about
enormous.
The size of a fist, of like, you know, a football player's
fist.
Did
you cut the piece or did someone
Yeah, he
else?
Cut it.
Oh, wow.
No, I cut it. Oh, he cut a piece.
A greedy piece.
He just got a second piece. He's got a second piece right over here.
I've not had a piece.
It is really good.
It means there's not going to be any for us.
There's plenty.
He's eating cake all day.
There's plenty. It's really good, Becky Lynn. I would have some.
You are
Pablo's
having some,
leaving
too.
Now too. Look at these guys; they're
Pablo,
all leaving for the
need
cake.
To get some.
There goes Young Zo. They're all.
It's really good.
You're going to be on a sugar high. You're going to crash by 5.
I didn't say it was good. I didn't say it was going to help the show.
Oh no,
I just
that should
like
help
it.
The show. Oh yeah,
crashing from a sugar
no,
high.
No, you'll be spinning out of control. It'll be great.
He's out of control. Okay, speaking of out of control, boy, we got a lot of parents who are not getting their kids vaccinated here in Arizona.
For a third straight year. How long have we been talking about this? For a third straight year, the share of Arizona parents who say, I don't want my child vaccinated from school-required vaccines has increased for the third straight year.
Yeah. Let me give you a couple statistics. Report from the State Department of Health Services warns that only 4 of every 10 kindergarten classrooms now have high enough vaccination levels to protect kids from these infectious diseases. That's because parents in 6 of every 10 kindergarten classrooms are choosing not to get their kids vaccinated. This is something we found out, at least for me, a month or two ago when this whole anti-vax thing, these plague enthusiasts, it started getting out of hand. Is that it starts with our kindergarten kids. That's where it all starts.
Yeah.
And that's why experts are saying Phoenix, Arizona. Not Scottsdale necessarily, not Tucson, not Gilbert. Phoenix, the city of Phoenix, could be ground zero for a measles outbreak.
And
listen to the numbers we just gave you. It's unbelievable.
On top of that, then you have the number of schools that have allowed unvaccinated students without the required exemption has gone up. In fact, one school, and I won't name it, one school.
Why not? Name it. Go ahead.
Because I am not a tattletale. One school says that they could do a better job at keeping records of who has been vaccinated in their school. So that they're just letting kids in with no registration or vaccination or proof of vaccination or not, and they're not keeping records.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's turn our mics off. I just want to know what the school's name is off the air. Okay, hold on, everybody. All right, fine. The school's in Buckeye.
Right.
I told you I was going to.
Yeah, but I didn't name the school.
I know, but it's in Buckeye. So all schools in Buckeye better be on the lookout.
It's only one in Buckeye.
You talk about these exemptions, right? We know that Arizona is one of, like, I think it was like 17 states.
Right.
That allow parents to get an exemption.
Yeah.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
But these personal beliefs, not good enough. I don't think that's good enough at all. If there's a medical reason that your child cannot get a vaccine,
well, that
I totally
right.
get it. But I think we've got to do something about, you know, getting rid of that personal belief. Oh, well, I'm just personally stupid when it comes to vaccinations. I'm just personally think that, you know, these experts who are all from like Harvard and, you know, that they're wrong. I personally think they're wrong. Well, I would say as Gatos, I think you personally are an idiot.
You want me to blow your mind?
Blow it.
There is a Cottonwood Elementary in Colorado City.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're
up north.
You're naming names.
Up north.
Okay.
They have exemptions for the measles vaccine and are unvaccinated to the tune of, do you want to guess how many kindergartners are? 85%.
So 85% are not vaccinated?
Are not vaccinated.
Then you know what? 85% of you kids can stay at home and have your parents teach you.
I got to tell you, there is a woman who works, a flight attendant for LL Airlines.
In Israel.
She is in a coma because she has contracted the measles, and they think she either got it in New York, remember, New York, Rockland County,
absolutely,
or Israel. That's how serious it is.
Plague enthusiasts
yep.
ruining the world.
Yep.
Coming up next, should every border state declare a state of emergency? We'll talk to Mac and Gatos political insider Jan Brewer next.